Man United and everything. Right, mate. Okay.
Cool.
Yeah. So I'll just sort of get straight into it, and then what we'll do. I'm a teacher, so I've been marking books all night. Chuck some subjects at me. What should we talk about?
Let's talk about Man City. Man City, Ericsson, about what happens now with Ericsson, with him out now. Who do we put in there? Does he come straight back in?
Great shout,
AVB, because are we still 100% AVB believers, or is he...
Good question.
Does he need to change, or is he too arrogant?
All right. What are the burning issues? Townsend, let's get into that.
Townsend's a good one.
Townsend's a good one.
Well, I think one thing I like to talk about is the expectation of Spurs fans as well, because what we see a lot is we're expecting to be top four, we're expecting all this because we spent all the money. Now, is that what is ruining our season, in that we're just expecting too much? Or should we be expecting because we spent so much money? I like that.
What else?
I'd like to praise the youth system, because we don't talk about it enough. Like, we criticise Townsend, thinks he's not world class, but he's come for our youth system. So Kulka, he's brilliant as well.
Who's the first one you said?
Townsend. We've seen
Kulka. Come for the youth system.
Yeah, so I think we just need to step back and appreciate our youth system, because I think it's quite nice to just take a step back in these international breaks. Just look at what
we could
do.
We argue about? What don't you agree with us about?
What don't I agree with you on? Well, it's difficult because you and Carl seem to occasionally have the different point of view, so it's...
Very occasionally, not that often. You don't like Harry Redknapp, do you?
Well, we could reopen that debate. I'm not as nervous this time, so we could reopen that debate, because I'm beginning to change now. I wouldn't mind seeing that free-flowing, something a bit more. So we could reopen that one. I don't know.
Right, so there's the running order.
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's get into it. Yeah, welcome to the Hot Spurs podcast, the honey mustard barbecue sauce of Spurs shows. We've got no Colin this week, unfortunately. It's his birthday, so he's decided to have the week off, lucky for some. So we've got a brilliant guest. It's Andrew SD, ASD. I don't know if you want me to say your full name, Andrew, do you?
Well, it's all right. The reason I put my initials there is because I'm a bit embarrassed, because everyone thinks I'm going to be some posh kid, you know, with my double-barreled surname. But
yeah. And then you start talking, and then, hey-ho, you are quite posh.
Oh, get out.
No, brilliant. Great to speak to you. You've been on the show before.
Yeah, we've met up a few times outside of this as well. I mean, last time I saw you in the Pride, I was with my father-in-law, taking him to his first game for 40 years. I was with my brother, and that was nice. That was before the whole game. I think we were happier before the game than after, to be honest. But
yeah, well, I park right near there, so I always walk past it on my way to the Bell and Hare. And I must say, I always think, well, you know, drop in and see who's about. And there's no one ever in there. So I thought, I knew you went there, so I thought I'll give you a little text, and that was good. Just have a little beer, and then on to the Bell and Hare, see who's in there, meet the usual fellas, and then onto the game. And, of course, it was the Newcastle game, which we've already covered. Now we've got Man City coming up. This, for me, Andrew, has been the most boring international interlull. It seems like forever since we played, since Spurs played. How does it feel for you?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, watching England was almost like watching Spurs in itself. But I don't know. Did you watch England, or were you? I mean, because the Portugal game was really exciting.
I watched both. I had the Portugal on the computer and the England game on the telly. So I watched both, and you're right. I mean, Ronaldo he's like Robin Hood with his foot, isn't he? The way he hits the ball, it's just like an arrow every time.
His first two on his left foot. His left foot? That's not even his right foot. His proper foot.
Yeah.
He's an incredible player.
He doesn't lash it, does he? He literally, like, you can see his trajectory. He just arrows it. Absolutely brilliant.
Incredible. Yeah.
Okay, mate. So we've got Man City coming up. Let's start there, then. What are your thoughts?
It's a tricky one. I mean, if you have a look at the last few seasons, we've always given them a good game. I mean, the immediate thoughts are, do you remember when Balotelli stamped on Ledley King a few seasons ago? Do you remember that? Away, and then Balotelli got a penalty and scored to beat us 3-2.
Stamped on Parker, didn't he?
Parker, sorry.
So
yeah,
Ledley gave away. Knowledge there, straight away.
Yeah, sorry, but then Ledley gave the penalty away. But I think it will play into our hands. We play well against the big teams away, so I think I can't wait to see it. But the challenge is we've got City and United. We could either be flying high or in a pretty dire situation at the end of the next two games, you know?
Is it a good game to be having, though? Because if we were playing a lowly team, you know, it'd be like, here we go, we're back, here comes 3 points. And if we didn't get it's slit your wrist time. But, you know, as soon as we're playing Man City, do we really expect to get 3 points?
Yeah, well, that might be quite a nice thing, because if we had if we were playing Newcastle or West Ham after the international break and then we didn't beat them, then it would be real slit your wrist time. But as we've got City, we can accept 1 point or even a loss. If we get 3 points out of the next two games, it's not such a bad thing, you know. I mean, obviously as a Spurs fan, I want 6 points, 4 points, whatever. But there's a credible excuse there, which might be healthy considering we don't really know what team we should be putting out.
Yeah, and this is such an unpredictable score, really. I guess all the pundits will be saying that Man City are going to win, and you know, us being Spurs fans, I mean, whenever we play anyone, you know, I always think there's a good chance we won't turn up for this fixture. You know, if it goes the way of most of these games, we'll go up there, we'll battle, we'll be probably the better side in the first half. At halftime, there'll be Glenn Hoddle in the studio, some ex-Man City player you've never heard of in the studio, because, of course, they've got no history. So, you know, and it will be the two of them chatting, and they'll be saying how unlucky Spurs have been to be, you know, 1-0 down, or it'll be 0-0 or whatever.
Yeah.
Come out for the second half, and, of course, you know, the way that these things normally work out is they'll get some really lucky penalty decision, or something will happen along the way, some dodgy sending off, and we'll end up, you know, losing the game. You know, me and Colin will be speaking next week about how, you know, it's not doom and gloom once again when the Twitter world explodes with AVB out.
Yeah, I mean, what was it? It was, so Guilty won goal of the month. Did you see that on Twitter today or yesterday? And when you click on the tweet and you see people's replies, they're always complaining. People complaining, and it's really frustrating. I mean, no one from Spurs is really going to see those tweets, you know. I mean, it's just going to be some guy in a office somewhere doing a PR job. But it does frustrate me, the amount of people who are down on Spurs, because there's times when you do get frustrated with Spurs. You just think why?
We can almost jump, can't we, to the subject we were going to talk about, the expectation of Spurs fans.
Yes, definitely.
You know, we're spending all this money. It has made us think, well, we should be winning every game. And I know you said on your podcast, the Tottenham Football Fancast, yesterday, that you know, a guy like Paulinho goes and plays for Brazil, who are favourites for the World Cup, and he sets up two goals and played brilliant. Yet for Spurs, you know, he's sort of, you know, he's played all right, hasn't he? But he hasn't set the world alight. And, you know, we're all waiting, aren't we, for one of these new signings to really explode and do something incredible, which makes everybody go, wow. You know, they've got a player there, haven't they?
I think the problem at the moment is the player who's done that the best of all is Chicharez, however you want to pronounce his name. He's been, I think he was the player that we had our lowest expectations, because we'd never heard of him before, and he's been absolutely brilliant. But the players where we had really high expectations, you know, Eriksen, even Chadley, Paulinho, Lamela, they've done okay so far. We graded them, we gave them all about a C yesterday. So there's so much more to come from them. I think we should expect positive things rather than expect and let ourselves become depressed.
Did you see, I think it was Soldado yesterday on Twitter saying he's not 100% fit. And then earlier on in the week, Lamella's brother, I think, was saying, oh, it's because he's not 100% fit. So it's like, yeah, all jumping on the bandwagon going, what? I'm not quite fit as well. You know, I'm not quite there yet as well. So, you know, once these guys are all fit, wow, we've got quite a side, haven't we?
I can't wait. I really can't wait. I mean, it's so easy to look at this squad on paper and say, yeah, that's the best team we've had in the last 20 years. But, I mean, you know better than me, but you go back to the games. I was looking back at some of the games I've been to. I'm a real geek. I'll send it to you one day. I've got a spreadsheet full of every game I've been to with every starting lineup, with every goal. But it's really quite sad. It's amazing.
Please do send that whenever you can.
Oh, it's incredible. But what I was looking back, and I was looking through the teams. I mean, if you ever look at the Champions League team, some of the teams that started, they had Hutton playing. And Hutton is nowhere near as good as Walker, but something about all the team that we had together there with Van der Vaart there and Modric, it was something. That team will probably beat our current, or yeah, would give our team a good game, even though
Hutton
they're not as good.
Hutton was good until he had a row with his dad.
He punched him, didn't he? Yeah.
So, look back all through the years, in terms of even the mid-90s, when we say we were rotten, our first 11 was good.
Yeah.
The trouble with everybody was injured the whole time.
No.
At one point we had a strike force of Ferdinand and Sheringham, which was absolutely brilliant. But how many times did the two of them play together? You know,
yeah.
And then the backup was Iverson, who also was always injured. Yeah. And the guy that was supplying the ammo was Anderton, who was always injured. So, yeah, you know, all these guys were injured the whole time. And, you know, you're right, the starting 11s. But what we have got now, of course, is the squad. And, you know, the way it should work out is that through the season, you know, take a team like, for example, Arsenal. Giroud, if he picks up a knock, they haven't got another striker.
Yeah.
We have. And at centre-back, we've got four really, really good centre-backs. They've got two. You know, so if Mertesacker does get a kick and he's out of the game, they've got to bring Vermaelen in, who's dead out of form. You know, and if Koscielny goes as well, that means they haven't got another one. You know, they're playing Sanger and Vermaelen. You know, that's the example of that. And these things have to happen because those three players, Koscielny, Mertesacker and Giroud, have played every game for Arsenal this year.
Yeah.
European games, league games, everything. And we're picking up an injury here, picking up an injury there, and luckily we've got players coming in. But I'll tell you what, you know, our key player, of course, was the left back.
Because
we didn't have cover for that. And who got injured straight away? Danny Rose. Cheers for that. You know, but we've got cover in every other position. Go on, mate.
Well, that was the weirdest one, seeing Benny go out on loan. I mean, I still don't understand that move, but there must be something that that's the one thing that we don't see what happens day in, day out on the training ground. We only see them for 90 minutes, well, maybe two games a week. So, there's something
inevitable.
There.
Inevitable. It's like, you know, Arsenal didn't buy a striker, Giroud, so you're going, go on, just one knock on Giroud and he's out for a month or two. Not happened. Fizz a fiddle.
Yeah. All the way
every single game.
Can I ask you? So, I mean, you've grown up with this, with Spurs, and what we're seeing, the average age of the season ticket holder and the crowd at Spurs grows by 1 year every year. We're not seeing the crowd get younger. We're seeing the same generation stay with the Spurs squad. So what we're seeing is people who go to the games, they're okay. They know what they've got on the pitch is the best that could possibly be at this stage, whereas what we see is the people who are priced out of the games, who can't afford to go to games, who see all the other teams, and to them Spurs is just another team with a different colour shirt, you know, and they say, right, we spent £100 million over the summer, we should be top four. Do you think there's an element of sometimes people just need to go and see the teams and see that Hull, for example, put 10 men behind the ball at all times? You know, it's not as easy as Hull aren't as good as Spurs, we will win. Do you think there's an element of, there's a generation gap where they just haven't been able to see any live football? And do you know what I mean?
Well, they've seen a lot of live football because it's all on Sky, isn't it?
But it's so different watching it on TV.
No, I know, but in terms of what they've, I mean, certainly, how old are you?
26.
So you when you first came into watching Spurs properly,
yeah, years ago.
We were pretty good, weren't we?
We're decent. 2008. It's half decent team. We drew 2-2. Yeah, it was, you know, it was a decent team.
Properly knowing about football, though, what are you, about 10, 11 when you properly know about football?
Yeah.
So you're looking at what year is that? I'm a teacher, I can't even do the math.
10, 11, 96, 97.
All right. Well, so not great. Not great.
No.
But,
not the worst.
We won a cup a couple of years later. Which was good. I mean, when I got into Spurs properly, I knew what was going on. My first cup final would have been 87, which we lost.
Yeah.
And that was what I was 11, and that was what I knew. I thought we'd go to the cup finals and lose them. And we had Waddle and Hoddle and all the rest of it in that side. And then we didn't win anything for 91, which was great. So, obviously, people that go to the ground, you're saying that, it's getting older and older, but, you know, don't forget that people are bringing their sons and what have you. My boy's 4. I'm going to give it a couple of years. He'll start going when he's 6. And, tell my dad, sorry, but you're not going anymore, and I'm bringing my boy. But, what was the question?
Oh, that's fine. I'm just putting ideas out there. I'm just, let's move on. Let's move on.
Right, mate. So we've got Man City. So your prediction is?
My prediction is a draw. 1-1.
Well, it'd be great. A 1-1 would be good. Do you know what? I haven't celebrated a goal for about a month. because watching England and watching Spurs, no team that I like has scored for ages. So I'd like to actually celebrate a goal. That would be nice.
Tell you what, I think I retweeted something today. I think Tottenham's matches have seen the fewest goals of any other team in Europe's top 5 leagues this season. We've only seen 15 goals in our league games this season. That's fewer than any other team in the top 5 European leagues. It's crazy. We're just not seeing goals.
Wouldn't it be nice if we get an early goal and we do the hanging on for 70 minutes? Because how many times has that happened to us or any side you watch? And you go, and they're going to hang on here. And we've got the defence to do it. You know, this is the perfect game to play the possession football and to knock it about and to slow it down and to do all those things. Against Hull at home, lousy, rubbish watching that. But away at Man City, keep the ball, pass it around, you know, frustrate the opposition. And, a nice draw would be good. I just think they're going to nick it. I think they'll nick
it'll be Zeko coming on.
But right. I think we'll be unlucky. I think it'll be a right dodgy one that me and Cole will discuss next week. Right, you wanted to chat about Eriksen. He's out for 4 weeks. I know, a few months ago when we signed him, you were going on about how excited you were to watch him.
Yeah.
I was thinking at the time when we signed him, I thought, well, I mean, I hear he's a pretty good player. You know, I always think, hang on a minute, why isn't he going to, you know, a top side?
Yep.
You know, why haven't they come in for him? Why is it just us and Liverpool who are fighting over this guy? But he came in, played great first couple of games. I've been critical of him of late because, you know, well, obvious reasons, not scoring and what have you. Should have scored against Newcastle, but apparently he was brilliant against Newcastle. He played loads of really killer balls. Didn't see him myself, but apparently they were. But he's out, so let's not talk about him as a player at the moment. What we're going to talk about is who's going to replace him. Yeah. So, who's your choice, Andrew?
So, assuming that he's playing sort of that number 10 behind the striker, I'd put Lamela in there. I would love to see Lamela in there. I'd like to see him have 3 bad games and then just have an amazing rest of the season. Because what he needs is a bit of confidence. He just needs a run of games. So I'd put him in there. Because tricky. Because the thing with Lamela is he's one of our few unpredictable players. We know what a Townsend, and that's not a criticism of Townsend, we just know what he's going to do most of the time. We know what Lennon's going to do, but Lamela, he can go left, he can go right, he can cut in, go outside.
Can't have the same song for Lamela as your Eriksen.
He goes
to the left, he goes to the right. You can't have the same song.
Well, they've been singing that Always Take Lamela with You, haven't they?
Okay, yeah, I like that. I like the Vindaloo one. Lamela.
Oh, I haven't heard that one. I like that one too.
Anyway, go on.
So I'd like to see him behind him. I think that would do me fine. Who would you put behind him? Maybe even Gylfi.
Yeah? Do you think realistically, though, that AVB will put Lemela or Guilfi in that number 10 role?
Not against.
But I don't think he will. I think he sees them both as wider players. I think the options are Holtby or either Holtby or a second striker, or my choice is Dembele. Because,
yeah, totally,
like you said on your show yesterday, his best position will be in that final third, ghosting past players, not in our half, ghosting past players. And I think that's the perfect place for him. He's had a little moan wherever he's done it, saying he wants to play further forward. You know, go on then. That's what I'd say to him. Hey, listen, you know you had a little moan about being too defensive. Well, Eriksen's out. You've got the next three games. You're going to play behind the striker, see what you can do. Oh, and by the way, if you don't do the business, put your coat back on.
Yeah, I mean, he came to England as a striker and he moved a bit deeper with Fulham. But yeah, if he's complaining, right, we're going to put you right at the front. All the lights going to be on you. We're going to be watching you now. I mean, if you think about the top three most exciting moments of last season, one of them was Dembele's goal against Lyon. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
I remember exactly where I was with that. And he can do it. And he can do it on the edge of the box or in the centre circle. Let's put him on the edge of the box. He's got a great left foot on him. So, yeah, I totally agree with you. Let's put him there. I wouldn't mind seeing Adebayor there. I mean, Adebayor does move the ball around. AVB doesn't like him. I've heard Levy wants him to start playing a bit more because we're paying so much for him. But I think Adi could do a job there as well.
Who have you heard that from?
I heard it on Twitter. I read it on a few blogs. Basically, bad sources, but there are rumours going around that Levy wants him to play.
Yeah, I mean, I want to see him play. I mean, for goodness sake, you know, let's see what he's all about at the moment. He's doing a signing. I saw him. Was it on? Yeah. He was doing a signing, so he's still there. I mean, he's still. You know, otherwise he wouldn't be doing. They wouldn't be advertising him doing a signing, would they?
No.
But just. Also, let's just remind people why he didn't start the season. His brother died.
Yeah.
I know two or three other things have happened, but that doesn't mean that another tragedy means, oh, get over it. You know, it is a pretty big thing, you know, and
he's a real person. This is what happened with Palacios. You remember, it's just, you've got to give these people time. I mean, it's devastating news to a young man who's out of his continent, speaking a language which isn't his first language. You know, it's a big deal. Yeah, you're right.
But let's see what happens. You know, you've got to see what happens. So you've changed your tune there. So is it Lamela behind Soldado, or is it Dembele? What are you going?
So personally, I would have Lamela, but as you say, I don't think that's what AVB will do. I would rather see
What about Dembele behind the strike, and then Lamela and Townsend as your wingers?
Yeah.
And then Soldado up front.
Yeah.
You know, and I think I'd say to Soldado, you know, let's have a couple of goals from you, please, Chappie.
Definitely.
This is starting to get silly. And then you've got your midfield, got to be Sandro. We're not going to bang on about Sandro because that's what every other podcast has done. You know, we were the first to say it, of course. And then you've got Paulinho, who you're not a massive fan of. Is that right?
Not in the deep with Dembele, because neither of them really know what they're doing. But what we saw in the second half versus Newcastle was what he does for Brazil. When Sandro came on, he pushed forward and suddenly he knew what he was doing. It was like he was in the role he's been training for his whole life. So it's one of those things. He's just, when he's in his right position, it's like when we see Lennon on the left, he's not very good, but as soon as you put him on the right, he's in his element. Do the same with Paulinho, push him up forward a bit.
What about this Man City, what about sticking Sandro and Capu as two holding midfielders, you know, considering the fact that it's Yaya Toure and whichever other, you know, heavyweight they've got in midfield, because they play two heavyweight midfielders, don't they? And then they play, you know, your nippy little David Silva and players up front. They play very strong midfielders. So I wouldn't mind seeing Sandro Capu plus one other, maybe a Siggy or a Holtby,
yeah,
buzzing around, or Paulinho buzzing around back and forth. Then you've got your front three. That's not bad, right?
No, I'm a big fan of Holtby. I think that's a great idea. I mean, if you remember the game last season, Holtby coming on was a catalyst for the victory. I mean, we were 1-0 down, and then Holtby came on. He played that ball into Defoe. I mean, then we were 2-1 up, and then he just changed things. That's where his energy can make a real difference when there's two people behind him just destroying and stopping. He can be that player just buzzing around playing with the front three. Yeah. How do you feel about Holtby? What do you expect from him?
I really, really like him. And in 18 months, he'll be Everton's best player by a mile. which is a shame because I really, really like him. But I just see him in an Everton shirt with his dad and everything. And, you know, I can see him being brilliant for them. No, look, I really, really... One of these guys has got to grab that shirt. You know, and we've got, 10 players for about five positions in there. Yeah. You know, you've got Chadley as well. You know, and you've got these guys who have got to grab the shirt. Otherwise, they're going to be moved on because we're going to get one or two more, aren't we? We're going to get probably one or two in January and then we'll do a whole nother summer again because that's the Spurs way. Yeah. You know, you can just see it happening. But I want one of these guys to just grab the shirt and go, right, yes, you're in. For me, it's Sandro plus, you know, four others. And then with Soldado up front. But really, you know, only Soldado at the moment because he's, you know, he's got to be Soldado. You know, you can't have the others at the moment. So, you know, we all like Holtby, don't we? You know,
we do.
He's good. But who was it against? Was it, West Ham? No, it wasn't West Ham. It was the Hull game. He didn't play well there. He kept giving the ball away. Not so good. But, yeah like him. So, AVB, were you a fan when we first got him?
Yeah, I mean, apart from the Chelsea thing, but that's a bit pathetic because, I mean, Chelsea sacked him, so we should like him even more. I like the intelligent side of the football, and he seems to just... He understands football. I mean, he's only 36, and he's right in the top tier of managers. There's rumours that Real Madrid... He turned down Real Madrid. I mean, that's a huge vote of confidence when you see who's out there at the moment. I'm a big fan of the way he analyses games, and the doubt at the back of my mind now is that, right, we know how to not lose a game. Newcastle, West Ham aside, he knows how to set out a team not to lose. Right, now the challenge is, how do you win a game? Because it's easy to put to stop a team, right? But to take a team apart, that is the difficult thing. So I think we need to see. I think AVB will grow in that, but I want to see it. Do you know what I mean?
Absolutely, and you know, he's starting by saying keep the ball, keep possession. I mean, he's right, isn't he? The team with the most possession wins most football matches, don't they? The only exception is Tottenham. Might be saying that. We're not, are we? Because we're sixth in the league, something like that. You know, a couple of wins will be third or fourth. Mind you, the next two games are City and United. So, you know, we're still behind AVB at the moment. You know, there certainly isn't anybody that, you know, say we lose these next two games. I don't think there's anybody who could be available, you know. But you know, we can't keep chopping and changing managers.
No, definitely not.
It's absolutely ridiculous.
Who are we going to get that's better than him? Who?
Yeah.
Now, so what would it take for you to be AVB out at the end of the season?
Well, it would be probably, let's say the scenario, eighth in the league. Out of, let's say we lose to, we're out of the Capital Cup against West Ham. Say he picks a rotten side against West Ham, which is hard to do because of the squad we've got. But say he picks a side and doesn't motivate them when we go out to West Ham. I'd be really peeved off about that. You know, if he, say he puts all his eggs in the Europa basket, I wouldn't be happy with that. And we went out in the FA Cup in the third or fourth round. And then we finish eighth in the league. You know, I'd be, you know, or even if we go out of these cups really early and we finish fifth, you know, I think to myself, you know, that's not the Spurs way. Don't listen to Arsene Wenger. It is not all about Champions League. It is going to Wembley and it is winning trophies. That's the Tottenham way. And we should focus on that And then if we get into the Champions League, that's great too.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. I mean, it's I've been to Wembley once with Spurs. We lost, but it was still one of the great occasions of my Spurs supporting life. I mean, I would love to go and see us lift the cup. I mean, that is what it's all about. I mean, you can hit fourth, get through the Champions League qualifier, and then go out just after the group stages. You can get your money and do it over again, build the stadium. But what does that mean? You just get we're talking about that club there. I've been twice this season to the Arsenal, and it's dull there. No one really is really behind the team because they know what to expect. They won't win the league. They don't expect to win anything because they know they can do a really good job, earn their money, and just keep on doing that year after year. I would love to win something this year.
We go to Wembley. I think it's the start of March this year. To Wembley. We have a great day. You know, and if you can win that trophy. Brilliant. That means that we've won two trophies since Arsenal won their last one. Brilliant. It's what it's all about. It's about the old tin pots, my friend. What about Andros Townsend? What do you make of him?
So I remember seeing Andros on his debut for Spurs. Who was it against? Cheltenham. Do you remember that in the Cup where we beat him 3-0? Charlton, it's either Charlton or Cheltenham, it's one of the C's. Yeah, maybe Cheltenham. And Defoe scored two as well. I love him. He's got a rare talent, which we forget that speed, that pace, that ability to beat someone. He's not the stupidest player either. He's had so much attention on him. He's such a young lad. I just think he's doing a great job for us. I mean, there's a plan B isn't necessarily for Andros to go on the outside and put crosses in because he's already putting crosses in and we're crying out for shots and for shooting. He is shooting. So I think he's doing a really, really good job. I'm a massive fan and he Spurs through and through. So, and I love the effort. I mean, I remember I was sitting in the south lower when, do you remember when he went over and knocked himself out? I can't remember which game that was. Was that Hull again? Do you remember the game where he just went over into the camera ditch and he knocked himself out? He hurt his wrist as well, but he came out after 5 minutes of lying on the ground, basically not conscious. And the medic was saying, you know, come off the pitch, and he shrugged him off and just ran back on the pitch. That determination, that desire to win and be Spurs, you can't replace. So he's got so many things going for him. And plan B, maybe Lamela coming on 60 minutes if they're putting two men on Townsend. He's got a huge future with us. I'm really excited by him.
Well, you know, he played for England again on Tuesday and was great. You know, he hit that shot and it hit the post. And then he had a shot towards the end. And the tweets came rolling in on the final whistle from Spurs fans saying, you know, he was blindly running every time he got the ball. He had wild shots. He's so overrated, this, that and the other. And you just think to yourself, my goodness, people are actually typing this stuff and looking at Andros Townsend, who's played 11 league games for Tottenham this year, and already they've decided that they don't like him because he has too many shots and he runs at people too much. I mean, what do you want him to do?
Yeah, exactly.
I know what they want him to do. They want him to pass to Soldado every time he gets the ball, pass a perfect ball to Soldado so Soldado can stick it in the back of the net. Well, how la-di-da, how perfect football is. That's all you need to do. That's what they would say if they was the manager. They go, Andros, today, when you get the ball, give it to Soldado, he'll score goals, and then we'll have happy days.
Yeah,
and Andros
turns
and goes, all right, I'll just do that for you. I mean, it's not that simple, guys. What I will say about Townsend, and this I don't think has been brought up yet, and this is why you can't criticise him too much, is that he's actually, in my opinion, playing to his potential. He's playing to his full potential. He's doing what he's good at. And what he's good at, he's running at people, and he's good at, you know, he is good at shooting. He's not, you know, scoring lots of goals at the moment, but he's hit the post and the bar. You know, he's getting deflected shots and what have you. That's what he's good at. He's not brilliant at that, like Ronaldo is, like we talked about earlier, but that's what he's good at. He's not, people want him to do more, and it's very, very difficult to do more than what you can actually do. It's like they used to moan at Robbie Keane when he didn't win headers. It's like, well, Robbie Keane can't win headers, he's too short. You know, they want this player and that player to do things they can't do. I don't think Townsend can do any more than he's actually doing. So you can't really moan at him. Like Walker, I sent a tweet saying, am I being too harsh on Walker? Actually, I think Walker can do more than what he's actually doing. I think he can defend better. And I think he can get forward more. Because I've seen him do it. I haven't seen Townsend play any better than he's actually playing. I haven't seen him pass amazing through balls through to loads of forwards before. From what I've seen, this is the best he's ever played. So how can I say that he can do any more than he's actually doing and criticise him for that? Plus he's a young guy. Plus, you know, what are we in? November. And we're saying, you know, get him out the side, you know, get Lamella in. Why? Because he played one decent game against Sheriff.
Yeah. I mean, we're expecting this player to be the best winger in the world. We're expecting him to be playing like Gareth Bale. And I think maybe we've been spoilt with Gareth Bale. But, I mean, Gareth Bale didn't even have a great first half of the season last season. A lot of his work was done in the second half of the season. And I remember when he first came into the Spurs squad, he wasn't terrible. But, I mean... I mean, you think back to his earlier days, you think of the Inter Milan game, but outside of that, he wasn't the player that we sold, you know? He's the stuff about the shooting, I mean, he is hitting posts, they are just going over the bar. As soon as that tweak comes slightly down or slightly in towards the goal, he's scoring goals. You look at Aaron Ramsey, they used to sing songs about him hitting balls into rosettes. Now he's one of the top scorers in the Premier League and he looks brilliant. It will come. Everything that he's not very good at is just about practicing. It's not a weakness in his mind.
So what do we tell him? So for Spurs fans going, oh, stop shooting, just pass it. No, keep having a go. Keep doing the positive things. You'll get there, mate. That's what I think Spurs fans should be doing. And whatever happened to, you know, when a pass goes astray or when he does have a shot and it goes over, a nice round of applause. Keep going, mate. Keep trying. But it isn't, is it? He shoots it over the bar and everyone goes, ah, why didn't he do that? Why didn't he release it? I mean, my goodness, this young lad, you know, you talked about the age of the crowd. You know, you've got 50, 60-year-old blokes screaming at this 23-year-old lad. It's just embarrassing.
It is embarrassing. I remember when there was a game where Pav missed a penalty, and I can't remember what it was, but as soon as he missed, they were singing Super, Super Pav, and he went on to score later that game. That wouldn't have happened. Yeah, that wouldn't have happened if the crowd hadn't got behind him. I've said it on my pod about Giroud. We keep on giving Arsenal examples, but that's just because Arsenal are performing really well. Giroud's looking like a great striker. He scored a great goal against us, and he set up a great goal for Jack Wilshere the other day, and that's because the crowd have got behind him. Even if he's not playing well, the crowd get behind him. I think you have a look at the Hull extra time. We came back from being down against Hull because the crowd got behind it. There's a real example of how the crowds can be positive. It can also be negative, and it can also bring the team down, you know? Yeah. So, the crowd's got a part to play. But what would we tell Andros? Just carry on. Carry on, son. We're fully behind you. You're Tottenham. You're doing a great job.
Absolutely. And sorry, I mean, unless my eyes deceive me, I have seen him pass the ball. I have seen him try and lay it off. You know, he got a massive, massive rollicking for not passing it off to Sturridge, you know, with a perfect weight of pass. Sorry, I've seen that a million times where somebody's, you know, trying to lay it off and just underhits it slightly, or, you know. So imagine that. In the middle of Wembley, you're 23 years old. His third cap? He's running through with 5 minutes to go against Germany, and he sees Sturridge out the corner of his eye. And he thinks, right, I'm going to lay it off. And he gets it slightly wrong. Whoa, shoot him. Never play him again. What a terrible player. I mean, for goodness sake, give him a break.
I'm a big fan of mistakes. If you stop players from being out there to make mistakes, they won't have a chance to make mistakes or make great things. Let him make mistakes, because if he makes one mistake, there's less of a chance he'll make it again and we'll get a much better player. Yeah, I'm really excited by him, and I'm really glad he's been getting the chance. Much like we said with Holtby or Lamela, I just want them to see them play, because as you say, if he plays for Everton full time, he would be a brilliant player for them. It's a bit like Canute, you know. I mean, we played Canute a lot, but you saw as soon as he left and went to Sevilla, he was a brilliant player. Just he had the time, and they let him do his own thing.
Well, so, someone like that is exciting to watch, you know, which is why Adebayor is somebody that I like watching, because there's something there. There's something that you want to see. Definitely. On a football pitch, the way he gallops around a football pitch, people tweet about him being lazy and this, that and the other. I think whenever I watched him on telly, he did look lazy, but whenever I watched him in live, he didn't look lazy. He was pulling defenders left and right and being a nuisance.
Yeah.
Hey, we've talked about that. Right, anything else you want to talk about, Andrew?
Not really. I mean, I want to say happy birthday to Cole. You know, I'm a big fan of this show, and I'm a big fan of Cole, so happy birthday, Cole. Do you know when his actual birthday is?
It was a couple of days ago.
Right, because it's my wife's birthday in a couple of days. I was wondering if they shared a birthday. So, yeah, happy birthday, Cole, and keep up the good work on the show. I really enjoy the scoring system. I told you this in the pub, and I'm going to say it on the show. I really enjoyed the scoring system. I've almost stolen it so many times on my show.
Well, you did steal it, kind of, because you did the scoring system this week, didn't you, with the...
I did that last season, so we'll leave that one there. Yeah, we did that last season, yeah.
And your wife, has she ever done any modelling like Colin?
I haven't seen Cole's modelling shots. I need to see those modelling shots before I can compare them to my wife.
Gorgeous. Right, mate. Brilliant. Great to chat to you. We're going to set up a quiz, aren't we? We're going to have a quiz at some point.
Yeah, I mean, what is apparent is there's bits that I know well and there's bits that I really don't know well. We're going to have a quiz off between the two shows and see just where the knowledge is. So, yeah, we'll organise that with some of my boys. We'll get your boys and we'll see who's the Spurs champion.
See how we get on. That'd be good fun. All right, mate. Lovely to chat to you.
Yeah, you too, Carl. Thank you
for having me. And come on, you Spurs.
Come on, you Spurs.